Save big on your landscape project at Menards. Whether you're shopping for edgers, pavers, or wall blocks, Menards has the largest in-stock selection of concrete landscape block ready to take home today. Build a beautiful border for your landscape with our interlock edgers on sale now through March 22nd. Save big on landscape block at Menards. Also, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. Here is the dangerous part. Envy does not want to protect you. It wants to compete with you. Jealousy wants to hold you close, but envy wants to pull you down.
Hey, babe.
It's Aisha Christina. Nice to meet you.
This is Quality Queen Control.
What is happening?
Hello, angels. Welcome back to Quality Queen Control. If this is your first time that you are seeing me, hi. I'm your host, Aisha Christina Foster. Nice to meet you. Hopefully you stick around, you subscribe, you share, and that you're a girl's girl. Welcome. Welcome to the channel. Welcome to the podcast. So today we are going to be talking about jealousy versus envy. Sometimes it can be interchangeable, but it's very important to actually make the distinction and to not preclude the fact that people will real life be jealous of you. I think what inspired this episode was I randomly saw this girl pop up on my TikTok, and she was talking about her experience that she was friends with this girl. And the girl literally was doing voodoo on her, and her grandmother actually had a dream. God had revealed everything to the letter, even this girl's government name, to the girl. And so she went to her friend's house to confirm, and everything was in fact true. And it really inspired me to talk about this episode because I too have experienced that, where someone did do that to me and they were trying to destiny swap with me. They were just so envious. They just couldn't live another day not being me while accusing me of trying to be them. Love that. So it's very important that we make the distinction here. And I'm going to be talking about the spirit behind it as well as the psychology behind it as well. I have written down quite a bit of notes here when I was scripting this podcast. So there is a difference between jealousy and envy, right? And if you don't know the difference, you will misdiagnose certain people in your life. So you don't want to be the type of person that's calling envy love, okay? You don't want to call jealousy passion, and you also don't want to call control protection, right? Or you will end up staying around too long or sticking around people too long that are actually slowly resenting you. So we're going to be breaking down the biblical difference, the psychological difference, the subtle signs, and also the consequences of staying connected to either. All right. So how do we define what envy is? So envy is the desire for something another person has, like a two-party type of dynamic, while jealousy is the fear of losing something you already possess to a rival, kind of like a three-party dynamic. So envy involves longing and inferiority, whereas jealousy is rooted in suspicion, fear, and insecurity. So the key differences here is envy is wanting, right? It focuses on, I want what you have, such as talent, possessions, or even status, and I don't think that you deserve to have it. And it often involves feelings of inadequacy or resentment. Jealousy is a fear of loss, right? So it focuses on, I'm afraid that you will take what I have. Usually in relationships, it involves anger, distrust, and also possessiveness. It is desire versus fear, right? That wanting versus the fear of loss, that is the distinguishing factor. So obviously, disappointment can then lead to sadness, which then leads to discontentment, and then it opens the door for bitterness, and then it takes root for resentment to grow. So envy often focuses on the thing that we want, which can then lead to jealousy, which often focuses on the person who possesses what we want. So let's break down the biblical difference. So biblically, jealousy and envy are not the same. So in scripture, jealousy can be righteous or protective. So God even describes himself as jealous, right? In Exodus 34 verses 14, this is a covenantal jealousy for all my believers out there. If you know, you know, you know what I'm talking about. It is about protecting what is already yours. So jealousy says this belongs to me and it's tied to attachment and possession. So healthy jealousy protects covenant. What is an example of a covenant? Marriage, right? For all my believers out there. Unhealthy jealousy becomes control. So I was reading up on this, and in Law and Liberty by Alan Redpath, he said that godly jealousy is love in action. He refuses to share the human heart with any rival, not because he's selfish and wants us all for himself, but because he knows that upon that loyalty to him depends on our very moral life. God is not jealous of us. He is jealous for us, right? So when we think about what jealousy, how it's defined, he knows that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So he is jealous for us, knowing what the enemy's goal is in our life, okay? So then there are these characters named King Saul and also David. So King Saul had jealousy towards David in 1 Samuel verses 18, and it started out as insecurity, right? And then it turned into obsession. So after David, you know, David and Goliath, the story of David and Goliath, that is the David that we are talking about. He became a national hero after he obviously defeated that giant. So the women of Israel were singing in the streets, "Oh, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And that did not go over well with King Saul. Okay. So at first, King Saul loved David and he brought him into the palace, and David even played the harp, right? You know, this is the same David that, like, you know, dance like David dance. Okay. Yeah. Him. David played the harp to soothe him. And whenever he would be tormented and troubled in his mind, David would, you know, play the harp for him to soothe his mind. And David was very loyal, brave, and he was a faithful person. So when Saul, King Saul, had heard about the comparison, you know, thousands versus 10,000s that the women were praising David after defeating Goliath, that's when jealousy entered. Jealousy then entered through comparison. So Saul was not losing his throne. His throne was not being threatened. David didn't even betray him, but Saul still felt threatened. Oh my goodness, how revelatory. This right here, before I even move any further, just speaks to the fact that it don't matter what some of you will ever do in life, it will still attract a hater. It doesn't, you just existing and being yourself will attract somebody that is genuinely hating on you. Okay. So like I said, what started as an insecurity started to turn into obsession. And so he even threw a spear at David twice, trying to literally pin David to the wall. He also was manipulating circumstances to send David into dangerous battles, hoping that he would literally die. He even pursued him across the wilderness to kill him. Meanwhile, David never even touched King Saul. He refused to harm him. Even when he was given the chance to get his lick back, he did not do it. So Saul's jealousy, it didn't begin with hatred. No. It began with fear. Fear of being replaced. Fear of losing relevance. Fear that someone else was more anointed. And that fear consumed him. Okay. So jealousy, when it's left unchecked, turned, in this case, a king into a hunter chasing the very person that once brought him peace. How revelatory is that? Where here you are trying to be a great friend to someone, you're, you know, having a good time with them, and the dynamic completely just switches and turns because you were bringing peace to this person. You were being a true friend to this person after they had all these stories to tell about how they don't have any friends and all these different things. And they turn on you, the person that was literally just trying to be yourself and bring peace. Let's get into envy Envy is different. Envy says, I want what you have and I don't think you deserve it. The first murder in the Bible, oh yeah, it was done over envy. Cain envied Abel. This is taking place in Genesis 4. There is nothing new under the sun, ladies and gentlemen, okay? It's a tale as old as time. This happened in the biblical days as well. Envy is comparison plus resentment plus hostility. So in Genesis 4, two brothers brought offerings to God, both Cain and Abel. So Abel brought his best to God, which was the firstborn of his flock. Cain brought an offering from his crops. However, God favored Abel's offering, and instead of correcting his heart, Cain compared himself.
This episode is brought to you by Spreaker, the platform responsible for a rapidly spreading condition known as podcast brain. Symptoms include buying microphones you don't need, explaining RSS feeds to confused relatives, and saying things like, sorry, I can't talk right now, I'm editing audio. If this sounds familiar, you're probably already a podcaster. The good news is Spreaker makes the whole process simple. You record your show, upload it once, and Spreaker distributes it everywhere people listen. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and about a dozen apps your cousin swears are the next big thing. Even better, Spreaker helps you monetize your show with ads, meaning your podcast might someday pay for, well, more microphones. Start your show today at Spreaker.com. Spreaker, because if you're going to talk to yourself for an hour, you might as well publish it.
Well, why is Abel, you know, why is God pleased with Abel more than me? But Scripture says, in Scripture, it says that his face fell. So God even warned him that sin is crouching at your door, but you must rule over it. He didn't. He didn't take heed to God's warning. Instead, he invited his brother into the field and killed him. His own brother. This really happened in real life, guys. These were real people in real life. So it wasn't that Abel harmed him. It wasn't that Abel, you know, it was the fact that Abel was accepted and he felt he wasn't. Abel brought the firstborn, which was the priority, of his flock. And the fat portions, which was back in the day, obviously the best part. Cain, he brought an offering, but it wasn't described as his first or his best. This is about the heart posture behind what you were offering. That's what it was. Because I asked myself, well, why did God favor Abel's offering over Cain's? And it's because God knew the heart posture. God knows our hearts, okay? He knew the heart posture of Cain. And he knew that Cain just brought him something good, but it was convenient. Abel was very honest in giving God his best. So Abel offered an offering by faith. So it wasn't about favoritism. It was about faith and reverence, which is what God, without faith, it's impossible to please God, right? Gave God his first and his best. Cain, who appears to have given God what clearly was convenient, right? Proverbs 14 verse 30 says, a sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy, the rottenness of the bones. When you look at different translations, it even compares it to cancer. Rottenness is like cancer of the bones. It just keeps on replicating. Envy decays the person that is carrying it, and it damages the person that they are around. It's a very grave, and I'm using that word intentionally. It is a grave circumstance when you are around someone envious of you. I will never forget the day that it finally sunk in that a certain individual was envious of me. And I was scared, because to feel the level of vitriol and hatred that someone has against you, and you genuinely didn't do anything to them but exist, and everything that they are thinking has been manufactured, made up drama because they were just so envious of you that they wanted to destroy you, discredit you, destabilize you. They wanted to literally just take over and consume. They want to also control the narratives that of how people see you, which is why they go so hard in discrediting you. They want to destroy you as well, which is why they will go on smear campaigns about you, because they want to see evil people like this. They want to see that you're hurting bad, because now it makes them feel like they won something. If I can get them to feel defeated, right? Then, and I can get no one to believe them, and I can get everyone on my side, I win. Now you're worthless. Interesting. Okay. So let's talk about the psychological breakdown. Now, psychologically, jealousy is the fear of loss, right? It's attachment based. So it's going to show up in romantic dynamics, you know, most often. So it's going to look like, well, who was that? Why didn't you answer? Why are you dressing like that? It's anxious. It can feel territorial. It fears replacement. But at its core, jealousy is insecurity about losing something that you believe is yours. Envy is inferiority plus comparison. Is it landing now? So envy is going to show up in friendships, families, workspaces, and romantic dynamics too. I mean, we can't even preclude that. And it's going to sound like backhanded compliments, subtle minimizing. Must be nice. Passive dissonance, you know, passive distance whenever you're winning in life. You know, energy shifts whenever you elevate. They always want to try and talk about, oh, they just can't believe this new you. And, oh, wow, wasn't it just yesterday that you were doing this and saying this and now you're not? Like, wow, they just have to keep up and adjust to the new you. Envy does not want to protect you. It wants to compete with you, all right? And this here is the dangerous part. Jealousy wants to hold you close, but envy wants to pull you down. So what are the signs of that? Well, the signs of jealousy looks like monitoring your behavior, isolation tactics, accusations without any evidence, control that's disguised as care and concern, or emotional punishment. So over time, that's going to look like possessiveness, which is going to lead into suspicion, and then that's going to lead into rage. The signs of envy, they're going to celebrate you publicly, but they're going to withdraw privately. They're going to copy you while they're criticizing you. But oh, let's not preclude the fact that there is a strong cognitive dissonance when people copy you and then criticize you. It's unbelievable and it's borderline infuriating. I used to always make this joke about, you know, this one girl that like went on a smear campaign about me, that like she looked in the mirror and she saw my face and then accused me of trying to copy her. I wouldn't. Genuinely, respectfully, like it's been so long at this point, but it's like, I've never consumed this person's content like at all. And what was so bizarre is like people would eat up the things that she was saying. And it was just kind of insane because I'm like, are we okay? We don't look alike, act alike, nothing. Like I wouldn't even know if we spoke about the same things because I don't look at this person like at all. So like I wouldn't know. So my question is, how do you know what I'm always doing when I'm not even interested in what you're doing? It's you know what I mean? And this is another thing too. I also want to say this as a PSA. People, I'm starting to notice a theme in life that people that act like they always want to put someone onto something, you guys tend to be the people that go on smear campaigns about individuals that you swear you've put onto something. If those people that you deem as irrelevant are in fact irrelevant, why do you drag their names and constantly try to bring them down and change other people's perception of them if they are in fact irrelevant? Because I'll tell you this, with what I've accumulated on my platforms and my success, I'm not going to go around going on smear campaigns about anyone because I don't want to bring light to the situation. I don't want to bring attention to the situation, especially in real time. I would never do it in real time. So I just don't understand. It's giving like lie, manipulation, and control. I digress. So like I said, they will get quiet when you win, but they always want to be celebrated with the stuff that they do. They're very braggadocious about it, very loud about it. Okay. They bond with your enemies. Oh, since when? Oh, okay. So yeah, you're obviously going to bond with somebody when you have a common enemy. I mean, I understand that. That's the truth. But I'm just against smear campaigning because to me, it screams guilty. It screams, I want to get in front of it. Unless your life was harmed, this person scammed you out of money, this person threatened your life in any capacity, that's different. But if you had a friendship fallout, whatever basic stuff happens, you know, there's a lot of nuance to it, but whatever, I do not understand why you're going around involving millions of other people or even relationally, you're involving your network of people into something that they had no clue about. Nobody was even asking, but you're just offering up this information. It's classless. It is. and it's uncouth. Grow up. Also, they subtly compete with you instead of trying to collaborate. You ever notice that people are always trying to make it, again, it's that I put this person on mentality, or I got you invited to this and this, and I did this and I did. What's the intention behind it? They want to feel like they are helping you, like they are your savior, right? Envy is a lot more colder than jealousy is because it's less loud, but it's way more strategic. The strategy in trying to take you down, let's get into it. So what are the consequences of staying close to people that are like this? This is the part that people do ignore. Do not ignore the signs. In the Bible, it even says jealousy is as cruel as the grave, right? Like, you have to think of envy also like a cancer. A cancer. It will poison anyone around with a listening ear to get them to dislike you as well, because they need to isolate you so that other people can see you through the lens that they see you through, or that the lens that they've created for people to see you through, because clearly they think a lot of you, which is why they want to tear you down, right? So if you stay around jealous people, you're going to shrink so that you can keep them calm. Remember, jealousy is more about possession. You're going to start to dim your light. You're going to start to over-explain. You're going to start to walk on eggshells, you know? And you're, in general, just living a lot smaller so that they don't really feel threatened. If you stay close to envious people, you will get sabotaged. It's not if, babe, it's when. You will get sabotaged. You are not different. You are next. Envy historically destroys relationships. Saul literally tried to kill David in the Bible. Cain actually did kill Abel, his brother, over envy. Envy escalates if it's not dealt with. And it rarely actually ever is. So psychologically, envy is going to lead to character assassination, social undermining, withholding support, emotional distance, the big one, betrayal. Because here's the truth. Envy does not resolve through reassurance. It doesn't matter how many times you can reassure somebody. I can't tell you how exhausting it was. If only I knew I was wasting my time with certain individuals, thinking that I'm showing them I'm being kind and I'm trying to have honest and open communication with them. And then all I'm doing is buying myself time till the next time that they collude and hoard ideas in their head. Like, it's just exhausting to like always feel like someone has a problem with you. You're just existing and you're feeling like your existence is a problem for them. Just let me go then. And then the thing is, when you leave these types of dynamics, They want to run a smear campaign on you still. You're the one that doesn't want to be their friend and they're upset about it. If I was the problem and I left, why do you still have a problem? Hello. Oh, okay. So the reason that envy does not just resolve through assurance is because it's not about you. It's about their inadequacy. That's why it doesn't matter how many times you assure someone, you reassure them, it's not going to work. So you have to do a self-check, right? Before you demonize everybody, ask yourself, have I been jealous? Have I been envious? Because jealousy can be healed, you know, with reassurance and security. Envy, though, requires identity work and gratitude. Be thankful for what you have going on. Focus on your life. A lot of these people also have monitoring spirits. They are very much in the know, very much in the know about what's going on in your life. They can tell you how many times you uploaded to Instagram. They're hate watching you. Oh, I don't even understand why she even wore that dress. Like, she said she didn't even like it and now she's posting about it. Oh, I feel like you are passing all these opinions and judgment. I do not understand it. Just be done, babe. Just be done. If you don't like someone, you know you don't have to follow them, right? You know you don't have to engage with them, right? You know, you clearly are getting some sort of emotional payoff by consistently ruminating on trying to talk about this person. And it's weird and it's unbecoming. Okay. We don't do that over here. It is just absolutely bizarre to me that people do operate like this. And this is why I study things and do episodes like this, because I want to get to the bottom of this myself. Okay. The reason envy also requires identity work is because these people feel like you existing is a threat to their identity. You're existing. Like, you don't deserve to breathe the same air as them. You shouldn't be on the earth at the same time as them. It's basically you or it's me mentality. Like, I don't know what is going on in some of these people's minds, but it's like a very juvenile, elementary caveman mentality of like, it is genuinely you or it's me. And it's like, babe, the world is so big. Are you okay? Are you well? You cannot be friends with people that are envious of you. They will go to great lengths. Character assassination is just a casualty, okay? They will go to great lengths to end you. They will literally try to cause you harm. They will seek, you know, spiritual advisement via witchcraft, voodoo, hoodoo, whatever you want to call it. They will go to these lengths because that's how much you consume their mind and they are that envious of you. And when you are an unsuspecting person like I was, you don't think anyone could ever hate you that much because what did you ever do to them? Seriously, like what did you ever do to them that they would feel this strongly, that they would? No, you very much are that important to some people, unfortunately. I know, it sucks, but unfortunately for some ill individuals, that's the reality of the situation, okay? So jealousy, like I said, says I am afraid to lose. And envy says, I don't believe that I can become this. So I have to steal this from you. I have to try and steal your identity because I should be that. But they haven't built the work to do it themselves. They don't actually believe that they're even capable of doing it. And that is a deeper wound. So in conclusion, some of you might be calling envy miscommunication. Babe, it's not. Please read the writing on the wall. Your life is at stake. And I say that with conviction. Some of you are calling jealousy passion. All right. Discernment is going to be the key in helping you distinguish the difference. Because you can never build a peaceful life with people who resent your light. Your existence is bringing out their demons, okay? They are manifesting. If somebody feels competitive with your purpose and with your calling, your beauty, your peace, your growth, they're always trying to tear you down. Oh, girl, well, you know she's only pretty because she got her teeth done. Yeah, you know she's only pretty because she like does her makeup in a certain way. Like, yeah, you should see her without makeup. She doesn't even look that pretty, you know? It reminds me of like Mean Girls with like Katie Heron was like, she's not even that pretty if you really look at her. Like she kind of looks like a man, you know? And it's like, you're just really reaching, all right? And it's just not safe long-term. So if you find envy in yourself, bring it to God before this rots in your spirit, okay? Because comparison is the fastest way to corrupt gratitude. All right, we're just gonna keep it nice and short on today. If you guys enjoyed this episode, give it a thumbs up if you are watching. Give it a 5-star review if it is your first time listening. Make sure that you share it with your friends. If you see the option, hype up the video. Make sure you're subscribed, that your post notifications are turned on. And with that being said, do not forget that I love you and God loves you. I'll speak to you beautiful angels in my next podcast episode. Mwah.